Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. We turn our eyes to the football weekend upcoming. And it's a good one. It's a big one across the entire football landscape. We have got tops. We had two ranked teams in action already this week. We have got more coming up tomorrow. Miami hosting Louisville tomorrow. Number 25, Nebraska. That is not a verbal typo. That is for real. Is in action on the road against P.J. Fleck in the Minnesota Golden Gophers tomorrow.
Why would that be a surprise? Notre Dame was ranked and they didn't have a win. So, I mean, nothing's
surprising. Yeah, because they're Notre Dame. This is Nebraska, who hasn't been relevant since I was a sophomore in high school. And now they're a top 25 team. Why? Because Matt Rhule is why. And we're going to talk about later because Penn State fans have me rolling on the floor laughing. ROTFL, if we want to take it back to the AOL Instant Messenger days.
You mean they don't still use, what would you know?
That felt unnecessarily personal. We're moving on. We got Vandy hosting LSU, the Doors ending a 120 SEC game streak, 120 plus SEC game streak of being underdogs. They're favored. The Georgia Tech rambling wreck on the road at Duke, and somehow, for some reason, Duke is favored over the wreck. We got a lot of games we got to talk about. One of them is taking place at 12:45 in Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina, and that is where we find our next guest here on the Rob Brown Show, a lovely young lady who covers the Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News, kind and generous enough with her time to join us every single Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk Gamecock Athletics. She is the spectacular Lulu Kesson joining us here on the show. Good morning, young lady. How do you do?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm good, and I'm very, very happy that it's a daytime kickoff on Saturday.
You know, I am, I'm not going to lie, Lulu Kesson, I am, it will always be team night game. Environment's better, stadium's better, hype is better. But if you're working the game, I can totally understand that. That's a different world.
For sure, and I agree with that. Even working night games are so much fun, but after five this season, it gets to a point where coming home at 2:30 in the morning is a little tough.
I totally get it. Been there, done that. That's why I now get up at 4:30 in the morning to sit my butt in one room every single day. Let us take this interview in two parts, Lulu Kesson. I would like to first start by flashing back to last week, and I do not think that there is a bigger story for the Gamecocks than after the loss to LSU, which we'll find out if you agree with here in a minute. I think that was a very winnable football game. In fact, frankly, I would take it so far as to say I think South Carolina cost themselves that football game. And one of the reasons why, undisciplined and frankly just bad offensive line play. And that ended up costing Lonnie Teasley his job. Shane Beamer announced on Sunday that the team would be parting ways with Teasley. Sean Elliott would be stepping in and taking over the offensive line. Give me just your overall view of how Shane ended up making that decision and then what that decision means for this football team moving forward.
Okay, first of all, I do agree with you. South Carolina should have won that game. They had a million opportunities too, and they beat themselves. I don't think LSU necessarily beat them. I think that South Carolina really missed key opportunities to win. To answer your question, it was a decision that was very much, it was not, Shane did not get on the plane, watch LSU film, and fire Lonnie Teasley. It was unfortunately, I don't want to say a long time coming, but it was a whole, he looked at this entire season as a whole, where they were at last year. Something that he kind of keeps repeating to us is a new voice, getting a new voice in there. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I don't want to assume things, but how I'm connecting those dots in my head, especially when he's talking about the number of pre-snap penalties or the inability to protect Lenoris, is a new voice, accountability, recognizing the importance of what's going on with the offensive line. Lonnie Teasley, fantastic guy, fantastic coach, nice person, brought a lot of good recruits to this program. I think it's very clear that there needed to be a personality change in that room, because the last 3 years, South Carolina's offensive line has given up the second or third most sacks in the SEC and the top 10 or top 15 in FBS football. Like, there has to be a change. And it's very clear that Shane put a lot of emphasis on the voice and who was, I guess, who was just the voice of that position group.
I think that is fair. And when I saw that Sean Elliott was going to be taking over that spot, Lulu, I flashed back to a number of videos of him when he was at Georgia Southern. And he was known as being, how do I say this respectfully, a complete psychopath with his team out there, like butting heads with his players who had helmets on, pushing and shoving him, getting fired up, going through the blocking drills himself, etc. And I'm kind of intrigued, because on one hand, I do think discipline has been the primary problem. Like you mentioned, too many pre-snap penalties, too many mistakes and blown blocking assignments in the game. On the flip side, having a new voice and having it be Sean Elliott, a guy that's kind of the attitude I think Shane was looking for when he brought him into this program. Do you think that this can fix the problem? Or based on what we've seen, is it just a matter of it's not a good unit and you're going to have to work around that?
I think everybody needs to be realistic of the fact that right now the unit, regardless of how many stars they were in high school and what they came in the recruiting profile, everybody's underperforming. And yes, they're injured, and there's, as Mike Shula was explaining yesterday, there's one guy who's played three different positions already on the offensive line. They're rotating. It's been a hodgepodge of five guys out there each week. That plays a role because chemistry matters. I hear all the time from that group, like, five have to move as one. Is a new voice in this Sean Elliott going to fix things immediately? Like, no, I have to be realistic. Shane is realistic. Everybody, I think, should be. But does that mean that there aren't little things that can instantly improve? I think there still are. I'm curious to see, especially with Sean's involvement in the run game before he took this job. You know, Shane kind of hinted, you know, some schematic things might change. And I think that there are still areas that can instantly improve. But overall, has to be realistic that he is being tasked with something that feels like that's pretty, I don't want to say impossible, but pretty daunting and pretty problematic right now. It's just a group that's really struggling.
I think that's fair. And you said there, Lulu Kesson, everybody needs to maybe kind of adjust their expectations for what is happening moving forward. I think obviously part of that is what is happening to Lenoris Sellers back there. When you have a guy that not just the expectation, but the anticipation of maybe having the best quarterback you've had in the history of the program, I would argue, back there running around for his life in more games than he's not right now. What is adjustment of expectations? Like, what should South Carolina fans have in the way of expectations especially the ones that maybe feel like Lenoris really isn't given a chance. And I saw an NFL scout yesterday say there's a lot of folks that are kind of down on Lenoris Sellers, but are all chalking it up to because of the way this offense operates with him under center, or I guess I should say out of the shotgun. The belief is Lenoris has gone from probably a top overall pick to he might be a project that an NFL team has to fix. Knowing that, what should those expectations be about this unit and about this offense moving forward with the gauntlet that they have ahead of them for the rest of the year?
I think no matter what, I think no matter who South Carolina's O-line is lined up across from, it is fair to expect the number of pre-snap penalties to decrease. And I know those aren't on paper. They might not look as significant as Lenoris getting sacked or a poor run game, but those are momentum killers. They quite literally like push South Carolina's offense back. They kill drives. And South Carolina against LSU, it felt like they would go one step forward, three steps back because their offense would get something going. And then a pre-snap penalty from the left tackle would bring them right back. It's hard to play football that way. South Carolina was penalized a lot last season, but you could tell when it impacted their game and when it didn't, and it improved towards the end of the year. And I don't think it's unfair to demand that South Carolina's offensive line be better immediately with that issue, because that's discipline, that's focus, that's something that I would argue can be fixed in the matter of days and should be. And I don't know if that's too harsh, but that's just sort of how I feel in the penalty regard. I've sort of been on the hunt to discover, and I'm actually curious your thoughts on this, because you've probably heard from and talked to a lot more offensive linemen in your career than I have, but the vocal and the personality of these offensive linemen. So you have a guy like Will Campbell who will publicly say, like, you know, I'll fight and die and I'll protect for you. And who will say, if you give up one sack a game, you're working at Amazon. I'm not by any means saying there's locker room issues with South Carolina. I was curious if, because I'd never heard any of these offensive linemen say anything along the lines of, we'll fight and die for Lenoris, or we have to protect Lenoris better, if that was something that Lenoris needed. He said no. I asked him flat out. I was like, do you need your O-lineman to say to you, I got you, I'll protect you? And he was like, no, I honestly need them to say, hey, that's on me when they make a mistake. I need that more. You watch every Heisman speech, and the first thing a quarterback thinks is his offensive line. So when we're looking at Lenoris's potential, I do think it's fair to say that he could be so much better if his offensive line was better. And if there was almost this, I'm not saying there isn't, but I'm not seeing from the outside this, we had a Heisman level quarterback heading into the season that we need to protect with our life because we allowed 33 sacks last year. That needs to be better this year, and it's not.
No, listen, I completely agree. In fact, I said on Monday, to the chagrin of many a listener, that although I do not think this is who he is, and I do not think this is what he will do, if I was in Lenoris Sellers' ears, I'd tell him shut it down for the year, honestly, because at this point, I have watched this cat go from on many a draft board, like a top 1, 2, 3, 4 pick, to not that I think he is the end-all be-all of draft rankings, but like Mel Kiper's got him ranked like 21st on the board and falling right now. Playing in this offense is hurting him, and I do think it is a lot on the offensive line. I agree with that, but the other part, and I kind of wanted to work this into the conversation, Lulu Kesson, was I am also horrified by the play calling of Mike Shula, and part of the reason I say this LSU game was winnable. LSU was doing one thing defensively all night. They were bringing an extra blitzer, but almost consistently off the left of the defense, the right of the offensive line, and effectively pinning Lenoris Sellers in, where if you're going to scramble, it is not going to be to the right to your throwing hand. It's going to be to the left, where if you're going to run and throw, you will have to get the body turned, get the shoulders turned, square up, make a good throw. And I think it hampered him a little bit. If it was completely based on zero emotion, zero dedication, whatever, it was just about getting to the NFL, I'd tell Lenoris to shut it down. And I think the combination of those two things, Lulu Kesson, are what is holding this football team back right now. I think the Lonnie Teasley move was the right move for Shane, But I got to tell you, considering that is only what, I believe the second assistant coach he has moved on from, fired since he took over, I'm disappointed with Mike Shula, and I'd like to think he's next. I don't pull for guys to lose the job, but man, like, if you're not doing the job, you got to go. And it's a frustrating spot for a team that we had higher expectations for this year.
1,000%. And I can't sit here and say I'm confident that Shane is going to let Shula go at some point at the end of the season, but it is sort of, it's the first midseason firing he's kind of really officially ever made. And like you said, he doesn't really let go from his staff. He's a loyal person, and I respect that from a personality level. But unfortunately, the offense underperformed in a million different ways the last, six or seven games. However, I'm losing my brain. I can't even remember how many games have been played. But exactly to your point, like, Lenoris is not benefiting from the system right now in that regard. And it's disappointing knowing the potential that he had. And I also think that it's probably, I got to imagine Shane thinks about every player when things don't go that well, that any second they could just decide, okay, I'm leaving. We already saw a tight end decide just to leave. And, Shane had a conversation with him and he walked away. And he wanted to, I guess, he had a different vibe and a view for his playing time after coming back from an injury, but he got beat out by other tight ends. Like, no, loyalty is hard to come by these days. I'm not going to sit here and say Lenoris is transferring. That's not what I'm cooking up here. But exactly to your point, like, when you waste a year with bad play calling, not everybody is going to be able to return and get back that year and get back whatever they lost and didn't benefit from.
Yeah, no, I agree. And unfortunately, the people that statement will impact the most are the best players on the football team, guys like Lenora Sellers. Let's look ahead real quick, Lulu Kessin, to this game at home against Oklahoma. I'm a little surprised. The line is only Oklahoma favored by 5.5. I really thought that one might be more like a 7.5, like a touchdown and a hook for a gambling line. That is a little bit surprising to me. We also saw Oklahoma just get absolutely hammered by Texas, who does look like they are the trajectory is back up for the Longhorns right now, but they could not score against the Texas Longhorns. What do you make of this game? I'm surprised by that line. I think it might be a bit of an overreaction, especially if John Mateer has had the extra week to get the hand straight back, get back to being able to wing the football all over the field. I just feel like South Carolina is a bigger underdog than a 5.5-point spread would indicate.
Yeah, I agree. I do wonder if people are just still super down on Texas and feel like Texas winning by so much was, really, really bad for Oklahoma, or if they just still don't trust, or they believe that Mateer came back from the injury too soon and that even more time won't give him a little bit more. But, I mean, they have the nation's best defense, and South Carolina has not necessarily threatened many defenses this year with their offense. So I agree that I'm a little bit surprised there.
So what is the defensive strategy here for stopping Ja Mateer? This cat was number one shortest odds in the Heisman race before his hand injury, his surgery, his return against Texas. What does this defense need to do to give an offensive line, which hopefully does have a much more aggressive mentality behind Sean Elliott? Maybe they fix a couple of things. Maybe it opens up the offense. What does the defense need to do to at least give the offense a chance to be in a shootout?
It's a simple answer, but I point to the Kentucky game where it felt like every phase of the defense was playing on the same page. And obviously every game, everyone needs to play well, but it felt like there was a chemistry and a level of togetherness that South Carolina's defense was playing at against Kentucky that I think needs to be there on Saturday, and just disruptive and Dylan and Brian, and they just have to make the – everyone needs to make sure that no one on Oklahoma is comfortable and that everything that they get is earned. And South Carolina cannot get away with allowing any free plays or giving them make it any easier than it might already be.
Lulu Kessin joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, Lulu, give me your 60-second answer. What does this game look like, and how does this game turn out?
This is going to sound crazy considering I just rambled and probably made no sense, but didn't say a whole lot of good about South Carolina. I think South Carolina might win this game simply because they have to. It's the last winnable game other than Coastal Carolina and maybe Clemson at the end, but last winnable SEC game. I think that Lenora Sellers has to recognize, as amazing as John Mateer is, pretend in his head that he is still injured and tell himself he can't lose to an injured quarterback and that he has to outplay him. And I think South Carolina knows that it might go dark if they lose the next three games. I think they win. I think it's close. It could be one touchdown. It could be one field goal. But I also wouldn't be surprised if it was like 10 points or something, kind of like not as bad as last year, but in that same range.
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with you. I think that's why that line is only at 5.5 when I really thought it would be the touchdown. We will find out. Lulu Kessin covers the Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. You can follow her on X at Lulu Kessin, K-E-S-I-N. Make sure you do, because she will be covering a day game on Saturday. Enjoy that, Lulu, and a decent, respectable bedtime on Saturday night.
Yeah, who knows? Every time I say that, I'm on my phone at 1 a.m., so.
Yeah, the struggle's real.
Yes, thank you, and have a great weekend.
You as well. Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News. We appreciate her time, as always. Stick around. When we come back, I would like to offer a few additional thoughts on that game this weekend, South Carolina and Oklahoma. Got a chance to go back and watch a couple of Oklahoma highlight reels from so far this year. I have some thoughts on what the Gamecocks can do, too. Hopefully prove Lulu right and stay in that game. We'll also get to Clemson. First time in 3 weeks playing a team with a pulse with Kevin Jennings and the boys coming in. I'm going to give you some thoughts on that game as the Thursday edition of the Rob Brown Show rolls on. Rob Brown, the Great Malonzo, and you. This is the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call. Because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Thanks again to Lulu Kessin of the Greenville News for joining us here on the show. We appreciate her time as we always do. Talking a little bit about what happened in the loss to LSU, a loss that Lulu and I both agree was absolutely unnecessary. Both agree that absolutely this is a game that South Carolina, frankly, could have, should have won. I put a lot of it on the offensive line. Lulu Kessin said, listen, this was not a one-week decision from Shane Beamer. This was not a got on the plane, started breaking down game film from LSU, South Carolina. This was something that has been multiple weeks in the mix. And again, if you've been listening to this show, complaints about the offensive line have been expressed with great regularity from me, from other Gamecock guests that we have had on, and from you, Gamecock fans in the Rob Brown Show Armada. I agree. And I think that game, it's kind of one of those things that you can overlook a handful of mistakes, but when one of them cost you something, That's where it hits the fan, right? Like, it's one thing if I was to come on the air and make a mistake or, you know, have some hot take controversial opinions. It's another thing if, you know, the biggest sponsor of the station called my boss and said, hey, we're pulling our sponsorship because Rob Brown did X. Now it's a problem. Even if it's totally legit, it is a problem now. I am not doing the job. My job is to not give great takes. My job is not to get a bunch of listeners. My job is to generate a show that generates money for the radio station. And if I'm not doing that, I'm not doing my job, and I got to go, even if everybody in this building loves me and I love them. I might be the nicest guy in the world, but if I'm not getting the job done, it's time to move on. And I think you can go back to, specifically, the Vanderbilt game. I don't know if it was because they blamed themselves for it. I don't know if it was just because Lenora Sellers, as Lonzo pointed out, the week after that L2 Vandy, Lenora Sellers is the heart and soul of the team, and if that gets ripped out, like, the natural human reaction is to get down on yourselves a little bit. But I think after that happened, that team, and I do include the offensive line as kind of the forefront of that conversation, that team kind of lost its heart a little bit. That's why that biggest takeaway that I had the next day after that loss was the one thing that I did not think I would question at any point this year was the heart and the fight, right? Like, culture is the foundation of what Shane Beamer is doing in Columbia. And they did. And I think the offensive line was a part of that. I go back to the Missouri game. I do not think the offensive line was the biggest reason that you lost the Missouri game. In fact, I think it may have been one of their better games. But they didn't help. Your defense couldn't tackle Ahmad Hardy no matter what. And in fairness, Ahmad Hardy is the AP's midseason All-American poll frontrunner at RB1. But the offensive line didn't help. Like, that shoulda, coulda, woulda been a late-game shootout with Missouri if your offense was able to do what it needs to do. Let me put it to you this way. And this is why I think Lulu Kessin went nail to the head right there. Sorry, head of the hit the nail on the head. Don't try to spice it up, dirt. So, this is the reason I think she hit the nail on the head with that take. Because I have gotten, dating back to Monday this week, we have talked about South Carolina's offensive line, obviously because of the firing of Lonnie Teasley, and we've talked about Lenora Sellers. And I pointed out back on Monday, and I pointed out in the last segment, I'll point it out again here. About 5 weeks ago, Lenora Sellers surpassed every other quarterback in college football as the short odds favorite to be the number one overall draft pick in the 2026 NFL draft. Since then, those numbers have been changing quite a bit. I mentioned to Lulu Kessin in the last segment, I do not think that he is even the best at what he does. I do not think that Mel Kiper Jr. nails everything that he does. I do not think that he is particularly excellent at the job. But I do think he does as much work as anybody else to be. And he has Lenora Sellers as like the third or fourth quarterback prospect in the draft next year, and has him as like the number 21 overall player coming into the draft next year. And that's not where he was a few weeks ago.
I know money-wise, that's not what you want to be if you're that guy, but if you're that far down, you're probably going to go to a decent team.
I don't disagree.
As opposed to going to a horrible team at number one.
And we know already at one point, Lenoris' dad was like, yo, it's not about the money to us, right? Now, in fairness, I still think it's easy to say when your kid's got $2 million worth of NIL deals laid out to go, it's not about the money, because the difference from like $2 to $4 million, granted it's high, but like, you know, maybe that's your selling point. You know what the big difference there is going to be? And again, I don't know that it matters or it doesn't. I don't know the kid personally. But the difference from being drafted number one overall, where Cam Ward got a $48 million contract fully guaranteed, to being drafted, and again, I said during the break, which, by the way, come join us on our live stream at facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube and on Twitter, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. We were talking a little bit about this during the break because Jacob asked the question, do you think there's a chance that he could transfer to somewhere else next year instead of going to the NFL? And I don't think so, because I do think Lenoris is a South Carolina kid. And, you know, I'm not in a position where I have any reason to question his loyalty to the program. Because again, he got $4 million offered to him. My speculation is it was from Miami because they gave effectively the same contract to Carson Beck when he transferred down from Georgia. And he said no. But there's a world of difference in going from 4 guaranteed to 2 million guaranteed in NIL, staying at South Carolina instead of going to, I believe, Miami, but whatever, versus being drafted 10th, 11th, 12th, right? You're talking about this year, probably a $50 million four-year player or a team option for the fifth, $50 million. And by the way, how many number one overall draft pick quarterbacks that are actually good in the NFL get anywhere close to the fifth year before they get an extension? None. If you're good, you're picking up your extension after 2 years and it's going up. So you're talking about 50 guaranteed with a team expansion on year 5, but likely getting a renewed and upped contract after year 2 if you're good, versus getting drafted 10th or 11th where you're catching, I don't know, $22, $23 million, probably guaranteed, but still big difference. I don't think so is the answer. But if he keeps coming down the draft board, he was the front runner. He is now over twice the long odds of Fernando Mendoza to be drafted number one overall. He is now just a dime, so he's 5-1. Ty Simpson is 6-1. Dante Moore, who's probably not leaving to go to the NFL, is plus 750. He's barely longer odds than Lenoris, and he is likely coming back next year to
Oregon.
Is
this a good quarterback crop coming out? Because the fact that it's fluctuating from week to week about who's the number one guy, and there's no one standing out where you go, that's the guy, and that's been the guy all year.
Well, I would say this first and foremost. I honestly do, and this is not a hot take, nor am I just trying to like pump myself up here. I do think Fernando Mendoza is stepping out right now, and I think Dante Moore stands out right now. He just lost to Fernando Mendoza. He's a little cold. Give him 2 weeks to get back. That dude's been balling out. I think Ty Simpson stands out right now. I got to tell you right now, of all the dudes, Ty Simpson might be the next Joe Burrow at the next level. Like, that's the way he's spinning the bean right now.
What, always hurt?
No. He's not been hurt yet. He's completing 71% of his passes in the SEC. I get the joke. But the point here is, I do think there are guys standing out, and Lenoris isn't one of them. Do I think he would go somewhere else to fix the draft rating? No, I don't. But also, maybe I do. You see, like, I don't know. All right, I do want to talk about the actual game, South Carolina versus Oklahoma. I'll tell you what we'll do in the next segment. We will do half of it, South Carolina, Oklahoma, just initial Thursday thoughts. The second half, we'll do Clemson versus SMU. In the final hour of the show, we'll do some baseball, some hockey, and whatever else we get to. Rob Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show's on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So what do we make of the South Carolina-Oklahoma game? As I mentioned just a few moments ago, the line of this game is Oklahoma minus 5.5. That number, TBH, surprised me a little bit. In fact, when I was on BetMGM Tonight on Tuesday evening, which is obviously a show that revolves around gambling on sports, I was asked by Brad Evans, one of the two hosts of that show, along with the legendary Ryan Horvath, I was asked to give a few college football lines that I thought were flying under the radar. And one of the ones I gave was South Carolina-Oklahoma. OU only favored by 5.5 based on what we've seen out of South Carolina is shocking. And I am sorry to say that I had to say that from the perspective of, if you're going to bet on this game, you bet on Oklahoma to cover, not South Carolina plus 5.5. You bet on Oklahoma minus 5.5. And I'll give you the biggest reason that this jumped off the page at me. When I am making my picks, predictions, prognostications, and projections for any given college football game, one of the things that I do first, right out of the gate, is I just go look at passing offense versus passing defense both ways, rushing offense versus rushing defense both ways. And what you will find is that if there is a wide gap between those numbers, it usually shows up on the scoreboard. So I went and looked at that, and I started, obviously, with Oklahoma's passing attack and South Carolina's passing defense. Oklahoma right now has depending on what stat you look at, the number two passing attack in all of college football. And keep in mind, they did that. They did that with John Mateer missing a few games and having to go to the backup. If you let me clarify my number there. With John Mateer, number two passing attack. Without him, it dropped down to number 35. Then there's the other side of the equation, which is, to me, and it's the passing offense versus passing defense both ways, that is the number that jumps off the page at me. If I look at it the other way, South Carolina's passing defense going up against, all year included, the 35th best passing attack, just games John Mateer has played, the number two passing attack in football. By the way, you know who the number one passing attack in college football is right now? Baylor, just ahead of USC. So, looking at the pass defense, Oklahoma has the second best pass defense in college football right now. They are giving up 126 yards per game through the air. That is unheard of. And keep in mind, that is likely and largely because of the fact that they just lost 23-6 to the Texas Longhorns, and Arch Manning went for a stellar 166. They let a quarterback have 166 passing yards, and it raised their average yardage allowed. South Carolina's passing offense right now is ranked number 40 in the country. Now, that is not a drastic of a drop as the other side of the equation. The passing offense between these two teams. The passing offense between these two teams, Oklahoma season long is ranked number 35. Here's where you lose this game. And unfortunately for you, unless Sean Elliott just transforms this offensive line, here's not just why South Carolina loses this game to Oklahoma. Here's why you lose the game big. I'm going to keep it a buck because, again, neutral cap when it comes to breaking down your games. I'm married to a Gamecock. I have to be. South Carolina's passing attack right now, 100th in the country. Out of 136 teams eligible to be ranked, statistically speaking, South Carolina has the 100th ranked passing attack in football. Oklahoma has the number two pass defense. Do you know what that means? What that means is Oklahoma can and will do exactly what LSU did last weekend to you. They are going to stack the box. They are going to trust that their DBs, who have done this all year long, again, they only gave up a buck 66 to Texas. They are going to say, we believe our guys can win in man on the outside. We believe that we can play a shallow zone because Lenora Sellers will not have time to throw the ball over the top. Go back to that Mizzou game. What kept South Carolina alive in that game against Missouri? Deep shots to Nick Harbor. Going over the top. Because Mizzou was not generating the pressure on Lenora Sellers. That's why I said I think it was the O-line's best game. I also think Mizzou's D7, front seven, not as good as LSU's or Oklahoma's. He took a couple of deep shots. They connected, kept him in the game. Same was true with the Vanderbilt game up until Lenora Sellers went down. Those deep shots kept you in the game. What about the Virginia Tech game? Special teams and a couple of deep shots kept you in that game and allowed you to break away late in it. You haven't been able to do that the last 2 weeks, and that's what's gotten you in trouble. Scratch that. Last week against LSU, you did it against Kentucky. It gave you that win too. So I'm going to tell you right now, this game against Oklahoma, with Brent Venables, by the way, pulling the strings, because he has fully committed himself to being the defensive guy they hired him to be and turned over the offensive play calling, although it didn't look good last week, to somebody else. Brent Venables saw the blueprint to beating South Carolina. LSU put it down for him. You stack the box. You bring pressure. You always bring pressure to your left. Lenoris is right. You utilize that pressure to take advantage of a weak offensive right side of the line. You do not allow a pocket to form. Or if you do, you allow a pocket to form where the edge is so far up the field that Lenoris cannot roll out to the right. If Lenora Sellers is going to roll out to the right, to the strong side, he's going to have to retreat 5 yards to get around that edge. Well, 5 yards worth of Lenora is going from take the snap and set to running back 5 yards, running to his right 2 or 3, and then running 5 back up to the line of scrimmage. That's not enough time. Like, it's not going to happen. So I think you're going to see much the same thing that you saw against LSU. Bring extra. Bring it on defense left, offense right. Pin Lenora Sellers into his right so that if he's going to scramble, it has to be to the left. It has to be where he has to reverse course to throw the football down the football field. And he can still do it. But even if he does do that, he's doing it into the teeth of the second best pass defense in college football. On the flip side, and this is why I brought up the defensive numbers. South Carolina does have, and I do think that this is something to be impressed by, the 40th best pass defense in college football right now. And with the games you've played, that's not bad. It was helped by the fact that Missouri was obviously a run-first team between Hardy and Pribula. It is obviously helped by the SC State numbers. It's obviously helped by the fact that even with Kerryon Drones, he's a good quarterback for Virginia Tech. They're not a great passing attack, or at least they weren't under Brent Pry. Like, it's definitely schedule assisted here, but you have the 40th best passing defense in football. The problem is, like I mentioned, the difference between Oklahoma's passing attack with Ja Mateer and with Michael Hawkins II. With Ja Mateer, it is the second best passing attack in the country. It is absolutely a top five passing attack with Ja Mateer behind the helm. Now, Mateer did not look like that against Texas, but keep in mind, and this is one of the reasons that I did not have a play on the Texas OU game. I thought Oklahoma was going to win. In fact, I thought they would win pretty comfortably. They did not, obviously. But I also said at the time, the question mark about this game is very simple. The question mark about this game is John Mateer healthy? And it's not just the surgery. I know he's bounced back, but, and I pointed this out, it's about grip strength. With a surgically repaired hand, can he grip the football in a way that will allow him to put the force on the football, to put the torque on the football, to spin the bean and get it where it needs to go? And the answer, unfortunately, for Oklahoma was no. But we're a week in now. And then the second question, obviously, was about ring rust. Ja Mateer hadn't played in a couple of weeks. Is he going to be a guy who shows no rust? Well, guess what? He's now played. He's now practiced for a week and a half. He's got a game under the belt. I don't think that you can lean on John Mateer is going to be rough again this week. I think the reality is John Mateer is likely, unless this surgery just ruined him, which, hey, surgery's big time, man. Like, surgery can impact you in ways you don't know are coming. Unless this surgery just removed that grip strength from him, and he just has a noodle arm with the football from now on because he can't grip the ball hard enough to throw the lasers that he was throwing before the surgery, before the injury. Unless he is just broken from this surgery, and you better not go into the game banking on that being the case. I think Ja Mateer is going to look a hell of a lot more like the Ja Mateer that was the Heisman frontrunner in the first 4 weeks of the season than the Ja Mateer that got hammered by the Texas Longhorns last week. I also think, and this was the reason that I did not take a play in the game. Even if Ja Mateer was absolutely spectacular, Texas has a national championship caliber defense. This is one of the reasons that I've said, no, Texas is not who we thought they were. But if you do not think that Texas is a playoff team, despite the fact that they dropped as far as unranked a couple of weeks ago, I got news for you. They could be a playoff team just based on that defense. Just based on that defense. They're a long way out. They got a lot of work to do. Obviously, with the next loss, dropped out of the top 25. And if I recall correctly, I don't even think they got a vote in the last poll. But the win over Oklahoma, dropping them to number 14 when they were top 7, giving them their first and only loss on the year, doing it in a neutral site game, I would not be shocked to see if they are able to build up a little momentum moving forward. I would not be shocked to see Texas start climbing back up the board a little bit. They're 4-2. There's a lot of two-loss teams in the top 25. they've got left on the schedule ahead of them three more ranked teams. Vanderbilt, which if Vanderbilt beats LSU, and they are predicted to do so, -1.5 right now. If Vandy beats LSU, Vandy will be a top 10 team by the time that they play Texas. Georgia, number 9, they're going to climb in the rankings. And Texas A&M, number 4 at the end of the year. I'm not saying Texas is going to beat all three of those teams. I'm saying defensively, they're absolutely good enough to. If they just get good enough out of Arch Manning, defensively, they're good enough to. So, John Mateer having his worst game of the season, when coming off of surgery, when only having 4 or 5 practice days, when having sat out for the 2 or 3 weeks before that, and having to relearn how to throw the football, I'm not shocked he didn't have a great day. South Carolina, if you are leaning on John Mateer to do the same thing this Saturday, you're going to get burnt. Because I do think, again, unless the surgery ruined him, and I'm not going to speculate or prognosticate that that is the case, you're going to get good John Mateer. You are going to get John Mateer, who had a top 5 passing offense in college football, and unless Sean Elliott, and I mean fixes, I'm not talking about has him playing better, has him not committing pre-snap penalties, has him not holding, I'm talking playing good football. Oklahoma, just like LSU, is going to bring extra guys because they trust their DBs to maintain the defense that is the second best passing defense in football. If your offensive line cannot stop an extra blitzer, cannot force Oklahoma to allow Lenoris a clean pocket, or cannot be trusted to move the blocking scheme so Lenoris can get on the run more, if that doesn't happen, I don't see South Carolina covering 5.5 against Oklahoma this weekend. It's not one of my most confident bets, but it's not one of my most least confident bets either. All right, we'll talk about the Clemson-SMU game coming up out of the gate at 9:20. I've never forgotten about it once. It's certainly not going to start today. Fight! Clap! With the great Lonzo, because there's a lot to get into there. And then we'll talk some more baseball on the way out. I'm Rob, he's Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate, and this, my dear friends, is a sports flash.
It is indeed. In the MLB playoffs last night, the Toronto offense showed up big in a 13-4 win over Seattle in Game 3 of the ALCS. The Blue Jays had 5 home runs, including 3 off of Mariners starter George Kirby. The Mariners led the series, or lead it, 2-1 with Game 4 tonight at 8 p.m. in Seattle. I am very consistent. Carolina Panthers running back Chuba Hubbard announced he expects to play when Carolina plays at the Jets this Sunday. While he was injured, backup running back Rico Dowdle recorded 473 scrimmage yards in 2 games. Head coach Dave Canales would not commit to a specific plan at running back, but said both players would play. The AP has dropped their midseason All-American team. Alabama's Ty Simpson claimed the quarterback spot ahead of Indiana's Fernando Mendoza, while Missouri's Ahmad Hardy grabbed the running back spot. Clemson defensive lineman Peter Woods is the lone representative from South Carolina.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
Well, call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.